Welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation. In this episode, we're going to continue our Mother's Day special, and we're going to talk to the mom of a player that doesn't play with FC Dallas anymore. Well, he did as recently as January. Now he's in Germany playing for Bayern Munich. Of course, we're talking about Chris Richards. So I caught up with his mom, Carrie Richards, and we talked about a lot of things, what it's like to have a son who moves out of state and into a host family, what it's like to have your son move across country, and all the things that she did in order to help further Chris's career in soccer. So I hope you enjoy this interview with Carrie Richards. All right. Well, thank you for joining us tonight, Carrie. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Well, we would like to get to know the moms of some of our favorite players better. And so I'm excited to talk to you tonight and kind of know your story and the mom behind our Bayern Munich transfer, Chris Richards. So we know about Chris, but why don't you tell us about you and the rest of your family?
Sure. So I am from a very small town in Ohio. Probably more people attend the FC Dallas games and for sure Bayern Munich games than that live in my hometown. Probably had 135 in my graduating class, very small. I moved here to Alabama to go to college. And that's where I met my husband at college. He attended a college down the road from, I went to UAB and he attended a college down the street, and that's where we met and got married and we have three children. Chris, who's just turned 19, and we have Mackenzie, who is 13, and Christian, he's six, and he's aspiring to be the next professional soccer player.
Oh, filling big brother's shoes there.
Yeah, he's pretty proud.
Yeah. So you've got another one coming up through all the youth hustle.
Yeah, I do. Now that we've actually gone through Chris's journey with him, there's not really a whole lot of people that you can talk to and count on and kind of be able to lean on and get good advice from, because there aren't a lot of people that have actually walked through your shoes. So it's kind of a lonely journey because you make a lot of decisions for your child and you're just praying that you've made the right decision. It's a little bit different when it's your life, because if you've made the wrong decision, you can live with the choice that you've made, but it's a whole nother feeling when you're making a decision for your child and you're hoping that you've made the right decision for them or advised them in the right direction.
Yeah, no pressure there.
I know.
So let's start from Chris, when Chris was little and playing. Did he play multiple sports or just soccer?
He played multiple sports. When he was younger, he played soccer and basketball, and as he got a little bit older, he wanted to play football. He played flag football one season, but he played t-ball one season too, but those two were just, t-ball was a little bit too demanding of a schedule, but I think as far as football was concerned, we were just a little worried about injuries and,
sure.
Football was, the main sport in our state. It to every other sport kind of takes a backseat to football. And so we knew that if we decided that he would play football, that would pretty much dominate and there wouldn't be any room for any other sports. But my husband played basketball in college, and he even dabbled a little bit overseas and played in a few countries. And so he was very much focused on Chris playing basketball.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed playing soccer as a little girl, and we signed him up for soccer, and he was actually he was very good, and the two sports kind of complemented each other. They weren't during the same time of the year, so it was easy for him to play soccer in the fall and in the spring and basketball in the winter, and kind of occupied, you know, his time. And they had a lot of similar you know, similar things that you focus on in each sport, but yet different things as well, so that you're not using the same muscles over and over. But yeah. I think he gravitated more towards soccer because my husband couldn't tell him what he was or wasn't doing correctly or incorrectly. So he decided to he didn't actually give up basketball until he moved to Houston to play for the Houston Texans. That was when he actually gave up basketball. So he played basketball all the way until he left, which would have been his junior year in high school.
Gotcha. Well, so how much of your life was shuttling Chris to practices and games whenever he was?
I would say all of it. every vacation we've ever taken, every out of town trip, has been, soccer related. He would have basketball practice at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'd have to get, take him to basketball practice, and then he'd have basketball practice right after school. We'd pick him up from school. I would drive him to soccer practice. And because of the distance that it was from our house, I would just stay there, which would be about an hour and a half to 2 hour practice, depending on if he was always like the last kid off the field because he liked to visit. Like, he's been there for 2 hours. I'm not sure what they could still possibly have to talk about, but so I would just stay there. So, I mean, really our days would start at 6 o'clock in the morning and they wouldn't end until about 10 or 10:30 at night. So that actually went on until, like I said, until he left to go live with his host family when he started his junior year in high school. And so I would say that schedule, though, went from junior high until through the end of his sophomore year. So a good 5 years of nonstop practice, just no time to do anything else but schedule hotels and figure out where the next trip was going to be and
be the logistics
right. And we always tried to make it a family thing where we really wanted everyone to kind of go and support everyone else. So as much as possible, we tried to have the other two kids at most of his games as well to make it, and then vice versa, when they had games, everyone had to go to their games as well.
That's good. You get some of the reciprocity there.
Yeah.
When did you know that, obviously doing that kind of intense schedule, you have to realize that there's something special about his soccer abilities and career. Like, when did you know that he had something special?
Honestly, I know it sounds very cliche, but I really did think from, the time he was like 5 or 6 years old when he very first started that he was special. I mean, he would run just crazy circles around all the kids that he would play with. And it was almost to the point where it was kind of embarrassing because I know that sounds horrible to say, but it really was because like all the parents were like, oh my gosh, like, why are you even here? And it was like, well, there's not really another avenue for us to, for him to play at this point. He's only, 5 or 6. So very quickly he was moved up a couple of age groups to kind of give him a little bit more competition and to build on his skills. But as far as seriously thinking that, maybe he could get a college scholarship, I think I didn't really think that might could be a possibility until he was probably in 8th grade or going into his freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
He played for the Alabama ODP team, which is like an Olympic development program. And he made the region team, and then he made, and so he got to go on a couple of very special trips, and they had all of the, the best players from the whole United States, and he was picked as one of the top 20 players. And so when that I was really like, I really think he's going to be able to go somewhere with this, to do something with it. And that kind of set everything in motion when he was nominated for as being like a most valuable player sort of team from that camp.
Yeah, just a little affirmation there.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, everybody thinks they're, I think we're both of my husband and I both are more ones that are like, we're very realistic. I think we're not ones that, you know, think that people are blowing smoke. You know, we really, I think we're very realistic parents as far as what skills, and we're the first to tell them, you know, that that wasn't good or this wasn't good. So I think we've really, not been one of those parents that thought from when he was in a freshman in high school that he was going to play for Bayern Munich. Like, there was just no way. We never would have thought that would happen.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about just kind of some of the sacrifices that your family has made. So in 2008, the recession hit, and I read that in that time, your husband's business was struggling and you guys had to make some sacrifices. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Back when the recession hit, my husband owned a moving company, and so he was self-employed. And at that time, obviously, when the market crashed, people weren't moving, people weren't selling houses, and the ones that did, they definitely weren't hiring moving companies. So financially, we were kind of going through a rough time, and both were taking like second jobs to, you know, just to try to make ends meet. And soccer is not cheap. I mean, with the monthly dues and all the trips that you have to go on, like at least once a month, we'd have to go to Tennessee or Georgia or what have you. And those are very expensive.
Yeah.
And so we definitely had to make choices. We had to decide, you know, what things we could, you know, what things we were going to have to not be, you know, participating in any longer because it was just too expensive. But I will say it was more my husband than myself. He was very adamant that soccer was something that was not going to, we were going to do everything we could to make sure that he was able to still play, because he really felt like soccer, unlike other sports, wasn't a sport that you could just kind of dabble in. Like, you had to stay consistent in the sport to kind of keep up your skills. And with basketball, he kind of felt like you could pick that up anytime, but he really felt like soccer was a sport that you had to be very consistent with your training. And so, that was the one thing that we had to make sure, that we were able to afford every month.
Yeah. So did you guys always go on those trips with them?
As much as we could, we did. You know, we, with the traveling, we really, unlike some teams, there wasn't like an 18 or 15 passenger van where, you know, they would take the players because they were so young, and we just always felt more comfortable riding, you know, going ahead and just going on these trips with them. And also just for the support purposes, we just wanted to make sure that he had that support, and that we were all there, you know, like I said, supporting each other. But we did try to go as much as we could. Sometimes we would actually bring like maybe one or two other kids with us, and the parents would all split the hotel room or what have you, so that it would make it cheaper for everyone.
That helps out for sure. Kind of switching gears a little bit and talking a little bit more about, I guess, some of the happier things about having a kid in travel soccer. What was the most fun place you guys traveled with Chris?
I would say probably we went to Orlando every, unfortunately we would always have to leave the day after Christmas, but we always played in a tournament in Orlando, and it ended up being like a college showcase as he got a little bit older, but that seemed to be like a perfect family trip, where everybody was happy and not anyone felt like they were just kind of drug along and they didn't want to be there. But, I would say Orlando was probably the best place that we got to go. he has actually gotten to go a lot of amazing places. But we've always just stayed in the States as far as our travels.
Yeah, that makes sense. I have trouble traveling back home to Oklahoma with my kids, and can't imagine taking them with me to go all over the place for soccer.
Like to Poland for the World Cup.
Yeah. Can't even begin to imagine that. I want to talk a little bit about how Chris came to FC Dallas. He switched to play with the Texans SC in Houston. How did that come about?
Funny enough, I mean, we actually just kind of got a phone call out of the blue, and it was Eric Quill. He was the head coach, and he was also like the technical director there. Mm-hmm. And he said that he was looking for a center back and, you know, wanted us to come. Actually, he really wanted us to commit to coming and letting him try out. And he spent a lot of time explaining what he thought would be a good fit for Chris as far as a host family. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he had done a lot of research apparently on Chris and had asked around about his qualities as a person. And he had done a lot of research on him. And we were kind of at a place too that we felt like we were probably at a crossroads. If we really wanted him to get a nice college scholarship or maybe even a professional offer, that we were going to have to find another avenue as far as training was concerned.
How old was he when he made the move?
He was a sophomore going into his junior year in high school. So he had just turned 16.
So what's it like as a mom to have your kid move three states over and live with a whole nother family at the age of 16?
For me, it was a lot. I was excited for him. It was life-changing, but it almost felt like, you know, something was taken away from me because I didn't have, I think like when your child is a senior going to college, you know, graduating from high school and moving on to college, you've mentally prepared yourself and you know that he's getting ready to leave. But when he went to go to the Texans, I didn't have enough time to kind of mentally and get ready for that because it was almost like it happened in a couple weeks time. But it was heartbreaking. I just felt like we lost those last 2 years with him. He was still very immature. We were probably the same height, honestly, when he left. I mean, he grew from like 5'8" to 6'3", you know, away from the house.
There's something in the water out here in Texas.
I know. But it broke my heart. It really did. I still cry every time we leave. I don't know. It was so hard because you feel like you're not done raising him. There are so many things that you felt like you didn't get to teach him or show him, and then you're counting on this family that you've never met in a city that you've never been to take care of the most important thing in your life. So it was very hard.
Yeah, that's crazy. That must have taken a lot of faith to do.
It did. We put all of our faith in Eric and the host family. And, you know, sometimes in a time when really we shouldn't have had faith in anyone, because up until this point, I mean, a lot of people, you know, it just seems like in the world today, there's not a whole lot of people that you can actually feel that comfortable with in such a short period of time. But it for some reason, it just felt right when we met them and spoke to them. They really felt like genuine people, and it ended up being like the best decision that we'd ever made. But it really was, we're like, what have we done? Like, what if we've made this horrible decision and we've sent our kid to this, you know, family that we don't know? But I mean, it's really funny how things happen. I mean, it really, and then from there, he actually, I guess it must have been Lucci that approached Eric about wanting Chris for, he and actually Christian Kappas for, to go play for FC Dallas. And so that following year, he moved and played for FC Dallas in their academy. Mm-hmm. And then, so he moved there in July. And then he was offered a homegrown contract in March.
Did he live with another host family here in Dallas?
No, he did not, which was even worse. So he lived in an apartment with Cappy and like two other kids. And that wasn't, that was, I mean, it, that was frightening because at least if I, you know, at least before he was actually living in a house with a family. And then now if I can't reach him, then I'm in panic mode because there's no one to go check on him. So we actually became, the Cervanias are from Hoover, from Birmingham as well. So, I did know that if I needed someone in a panic, that I could definitely reach out to the Cervanias and they could go check on him. But that was hard as well. Cause you know, he was on his own, all his meals, everything, you know, as far as getting up to go to school, go to practice, he was on his own. So I guess in a sense that really prepared him, and helped him mature to take on the next step, which would have been him going to Munich.
Yeah. When he made that trip to Germany the first time for that training camp, did you have any ideas that that would be a precursor to a permanent move?
No, honestly, we both, my husband and I both thought when he went for the, well, when he went for the 10-day training stint, we kind of just thought, oh, this is just for show. They're just doing it because they just entered into this agreement and they kind of have to do something to kind of show good faith. And
right.
So we just kind of thought it was just, you know, nothing to get excited about. We are excited that he got to go just because, you know, it's an amazing place and it's an amazing club. And Boateng is like his favorite player. And so there were a lot of things that were, you know, exciting for him and for him. For us, it was more like this is something for him to get excited about because now he can set his goals even higher. Because every year we talk about goals that we have for the next year, and you know, this wasn't even on the list of goals. So this kind of set the bar to, you know, on a different level. But when he went back for the 6 months, then we were like, one of his goals for that year was that he wanted them to sign him. And so once, when they did the 6 month loan, I think we kind of thought they really must see something in him or they wouldn't want him for a whole 6 months.
Yeah. That's a good goal to have, I suppose. You know, to be signed by one of the largest teams in the world.
Right.
How did you feel whenever you found out that he's just going to be living on a different continent and you're going to have a 19-year-old son on a different continent?
That was, you know, as far as like advising him, I mean, that's hard as well. Cause it's like to, I mean, you can't say no, but there's this little part of you that's like, oh my gosh, you know, it'd be so much better if he was in Dallas and we could go watch him play. And even better now, cause Eric is the coach for the UCL team.
Right.
I mean, the USL team. And it's like, oh my gosh. But, you know, it stinks because there's a 7 hour time difference. So, you know, when I'm getting up in the morning, he's already eating lunch. And so, just not being, you know, sometimes I get nervous when I text him and he doesn't text me back right away. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what if something's happened? You know, it's very nerve wracking because it is another country and I can't get there. Like I can, if I need to go to Dallas, I could get on a nonstop flight, or
right.
If I want to go to Munich, it's going to be a whole 11 hour flight. And I don't know, it's just a different feeling when you know you can't get there. And if something happens and they need to call me, there might not be there might be a big communication barrier. We might not be able to, I mean, when we go to visit, often Chris has to translate because there still is that communication barrier with, regarding them speaking English, and some words, you know, you just can't understand exactly what they're trying to convey.
Yeah. So does he speak German now?
He does. He does. I think he does. Obviously I don't speak German, but, it sounds good when we go out to go different places, he can have a conversation and they, you know, it looks like the, you know, that they're speaking, that the other person is understanding what he's saying. But, I can remember him like texting me a couple months back, and he was like, "Mom, guess what?" And I'm like thinking like, "Oh my gosh," you know, like he's gotten like, you know, something really exciting. And he was like, "I had a whole 30-minute conversation with the cab driver in German." I'm like, "Oh my gosh," you know, I thought you were going to tell me like, you know, something really exciting, but he's very proud of it. I mean, it's a very difficult language, but he does have, lessons that he has to take every day to become fluent.
Well, now you'll have no idea if whether he's ordering dinner or insulting you.
He's saying, "Spit in my mom's food, please."
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, letting us get to know you a little bit more and the I guess the mom behind the player. So thanks for joining me.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
You were listening to the Dallas Soccer Show with Dustin Nation and Tristan Vick. Thanks again to Carrie Richards for joining me for the interview. She is so nice and is just a shining example of a mom who sacrificed so much for her son to fulfill his dreams. And I really enjoyed hearing her story. So stay tuned. We've got one more interview with another mother of another player coming up here this week. You can find us on the internet at dallassoccershow.com and on Twitter as @DallasSoccerShow. Thanks for listening, everybody.